on a Thursday morning. And Sue, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This is almost a full week of school in the books for the MCCSE. How are we doing to get things started?
Hey, I think we're doing really well. Everything seems to be going quite smoothly for the opening of school. And, of course, the beginning is always, as you point out, Glass, you know, at the beginning is always a little different as things start to settle in, such as bus routes, maybe buses running a little slowly, class sizes still being adjusted as, you know, because the whole thing for predicting teachers and classrooms and where kids go is all based on an estimate. So when we really see how many kids there are, sometimes those things might have to change.
And that makes sense because there are people moving in, moving out, jumping around, even to the last minute. That's just how kind of human nature is. So when do you have the day where you count everybody? When do you have the day you think you've got your best number and you can make these decisions?
That goes on. It's usually for a couple of weeks. And, you know, with IU not starting until Monday, a lot of times we have children of new IU staff people or children of grad students coming in. So sometimes those kids don't come in until right about now. So it usually takes a couple weeks, and when class sizes appear that they're getting a little large, the administration adds paraeducators or aides into those classrooms to help. Because as our superintendent says, you know, it's not just one teacher and a classroom full of kids anymore. We have a lot of different adults in classrooms doing a lot of different things with kids.
But you don't see an influx of 10 to 12 kids in a grade or anything else where you'd have to create something at a last minute.
Well, if that happens, yes. In fact, when I was talking to the superintendent earlier in the week, I think they've even underestimated some classes. So rather than taking teachers out and combining classes, they're just leaving them there to see what happens. So, but the school corporation does at time move teachers if there's too many teachers to students at a school, or if they need an extra teacher, they might move somebody in. So that does take about, I would say, you know, a week or so to adjust everything.
And once everything gets adjusted, then it's business as usual, right? And everything's good. So that's good to hear, because we just want routine. I think everybody's trying to figure that out here the last couple of days. How's your drop-off and pickup going? What time do we need to get out of bed? What time do we need to go to bed? All that's fun stuff. But that's good to hear that there's no issues or physical plan issues or anything else going with that. It's nice just to get started and get into
it. Well, and there are a lot of schools are having their meetings for parents.
Sure.
PTOs, let them know what's going on.
Right, exactly. Meet the teacher.
A lot of things that are happening in the schools in addition to starting up the sports and the classes and all the other things.
Yes, and if people would check the MCCSC website or their child's individual school websites, there's tons of open houses coming up in the next few weeks. So that's a good thing for people to check on. I know parents always get really excited to attend those open houses.
Well, and part of the reason for that, too, Sue, is that you take some of our middle schools where the kids have transitioned from elementary into a middle school, and some of these open houses are to explain to them all of the activities and options that they have in addition to the classes to get involved in the school. So there's a lot of reasons for these open houses, more than might meet the eye on the surface.
Right, and it also helps the parents really understand what their students are experiencing while they're in school.
Mm-hmm. And we have a school board meeting next Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday is our regular session, and the board will be authorizing the advertising of our budget for our next year for 2017. So Tim Thrasher, Director of Business Operations, will bring that to the board so the board can see what it is that we're advertising, and then we okay that authorization for it to be published so that the public can take a look at that. And if they have any questions or comments, then they're free to contact folks and talk about it.
And we're moving along, too, on the referendum to get that underway and launched fully. And it's kind of like Labor Day becomes the thing for these kinds of events that people's minds don't quite focus until Labor Day.
Right, right. And there is a kickoff at the courthouse, and I forget the date. I think maybe it's the I think maybe it's the 6th. It's Tuesday evening. I think at 5:30 or 6:30, it's a kickoff on the Courthouse Square for the referendum. So, again, if people are interested in that, they can go to yesformccsc.org, and the website will get people informed, allow you to sign up to help and answer your questions.
Good point to make there. Michael had some questions for you, too, on the commission you're serving on.
Yeah, first of all, Sue, tell us what commission you are sitting on.
Well, actually, that just wrapped up. It was the Innovation Task Force that Mayor Hamilton initiated. He had three different task forces that he talked about when he first came into office, and this was one of them. And we delivered our final report to him on Monday. And the whole purpose of this was really to look at how to improve city services, how to make the city run more efficiently, and again, that would be also saving money, and just how to make citizens feel like the city is being responsive to them. So for me, it was a really fun task force to serve on in terms of looking at the different ways that we could not just respond to citizens, but engage them, so that they know that this is their city and they have a voice in it.
And the one thing that just jumps off the page when seeing what was presented, there was 11 priorities for the 2017 City of Bloomington budget year, and five of the 11 were ranked as top tier. And the first one is create a department / director of innovation. The first thing people are going to ask is, who's going to pay for this, or how is this all going to be funded?
Well, I know, exactly.
The devil's always in the details. I know that.
Right, and again, it's a recommendation delivered to the mayor, and it will be up to Mayor Hamilton to decide how he wants to proceed with this. But we looked at a number of different cities that do have innovation directors, and of course, this could be also maybe rolled into some other responsibility somewhere. But it's really to allow someone to constantly take a look at what's happening to the city and how we're doing it, especially with technology nowadays.
These aren't going to be volunteer positions, are they?
Oh, no. Right. No, I mean, that was intended to be a staff-level position, so like a lot of the other cities that we looked at. So I don't really know if Mayor Hamilton will necessarily adopt that recommendation. These were merely recommendations. But we also talked about continuing this kind of a task force with volunteers, and everybody on it was a volunteer, continuing this kind of task force to continue the discussions about how we make city services work better and function better. And, you know, it could be something as simple as or as complex as looking at the way the government's organized. Do we have the right departments? Do they need to be reorganized in a different way? The other thing we really took a look at was how city staff, especially frontline staff, are trained, and do they have the authority to really answer people's questions as opposed to just passing people on to another phone call, to another phone call, to another phone call. So we want people coming to the city to feel that they're not a bother to the city, but that we're really there to get them what they need.
Sue Wanser and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. They both serve on the MCCSC school board. Sue also served on the, I want to make sure I get this right, the City of Bloomington's Task Force on Government Innovation. And again, so this is being sent to the mayor's office, and the mayor can cherry pick exactly what he wants. He does not have to follow this plan verbatim, right?
Oh, exactly. And you know, Glass, initially we had like 30 recommendations, and we thought just sending him 30 that's an awful lot. So we really did prioritize those things. And like you said, there were the top five and then the next six. Again, John doesn't have to accept those in that priority level. But we did that to make it easier for him to understand the work that we had done and why we felt the different items were important.
It's been a busy week at City Hall with the Innovation Task Force report, the sanitation stuff that's going on as well, so busy times and all of that. So remind us again, school board meeting is coming up Tuesday.
It's coming Tuesday at 6:00. Near the top of the meeting, we always take public comment after we do our celebration of successes, which recognizes different people for what they have done with the school corporation, and so people are free to come offer us their public comment, and then during the meeting, we will hear from Kim Thrasher about our upcoming budget and the process for that, and we will take a look at that so we can get it authorized for advertising.
And that's the official posting there. So once that's done, it's done.
Yes.
And again, that's a little heavy lifting on the budget stuff, but we know it's very important, especially because that's where, again, the money's got to be put out. But you have nobody better than Tim Thrasher in charge of that. So that should not be too much of a headache,
exactly.
Just because Tim has not made it a headache for 30 however many years there. So Tuesday night gets us going.
And then in September 27th, for our regular session, we'll have a public hearing on the budget where, again, people can come and make public comment on the budget, and then we will look at adopting the budget at our meeting on October 25th.
So there is
and
your
time. And I will
timeline.
Remind people.
Please.
I'll remind people, as we've talked about before, we always set our budget at the upper limits because once the budget is adopted, once it's advertised, we can't go above that. We can always go lower.
Yes, you can
so
trim, but you cannot
add. At the upper limits. Exactly.
That makes sense, and again, it keeps that process going. So each month leading up to that will be different. How much influence does the public really have on what goes on or off the budget?
That's a really good question, Glass. And I think if somebody came in and said, we want to pay teachers more, which of course we do too, if we don't have the money, we can't do it. Or if somebody comes in and says, I think you can save $20 on this extracurricular activity by doing this. Those aren't the kinds of things we necessarily can do, but certainly people can talk about what our priorities are, and you can always see that on where we spend money. So the changes might not occur the way people, I don't even know if people would have suggestions for change, but usually what people have are questions about the source of the revenue, how that happens, why we're spending what we're spending. And so certainly, the public is welcome to make those kinds of comments at any time.